Today on Real Radio.
Even though there's some tens of thousands of enemy troops nearby, we know this, that Jonathan and his armor bearer has the Lord on their side. And with that, you have a majority.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through 1 Samuel. Now, we're in chapter 14, which records another conflict between the men of Israel and their ancient enemies, the Philistines. Now, this part of Scripture gives us yet another lesson in faith. In fact, as Pastor Jack points out, these verses point out the differences between the faith of Jonathan and the faith of his father Saul. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson taken from 1 Samuel chapter 14. It's a study called Faith, Jonathan versus Saul.
And it says the people who were with him were about 600 men. And it lists some of these players that are before us. Look at verse 6. Then Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, "Come, let us go over to the garrison of these," what does he say? "Uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few." Verse 7. So his armor bearer said to him, "Do all that is in your heart. Go then. Here I am with you according to your heart." Then Jonathan said, "Very well, let us cross over to these men and we will show ourselves to them." You guys, we learned last time there are tens of thousands of them encamped. Jonathan, have you flipped? Catch the scene. There's the 600 men of Saul, which that's not very many guys. But Jonathan, instead of hiding underneath a pomegranate tree, Jonathan looks to his armor bearer and says, "Hey, you know what? And is this not a great act of faith? Is this not a huge exploit? What's it to God if he's going to deliver the enemy into our hands if he uses a lot of soldiers or just a few?" You guys, that's huge faith. And his armor bearer says, "You know what? Whatever you want to do, let's do it." What a tremendous assistant that is. I tell you, that's the kind of assistant you want to have. Whatever's in your heart to do, go for it. Why? Why could not assistants to Saul say the same thing about Saul? Why is this assistant saying it to Jonathan? Jonathan is moving now out from his father's poor example to live his life in faith. And when you live a life in faith, you will not stand there and look at how high the walls are or how broad the river is or how deep that sea might be. Listen, faith, I believe, when it's practiced the way God would have it, seems ridiculous. And it will be criticized. It will be made fun of. Have you ever expressed an act of faith that the Lord may be laying upon your heart and you might tell somebody, "You know what, we're going to go do this," or "I'm going to go launch out in that area," and people will put that down. They say, "Oh, you're crazy. Boy, you better go pray about that." "I have prayed about it. I'm going to be doing this thing." Whoa, woo. I believe that people who act in faith often will be misunderstood by even those that claim to be on your side. Wonderful, God-loving Christians will sometimes be your worst enemy when it comes to an exercise of faith. And Jonathan says, "Look, armor bearer, what's the deal? I've got a feeling about this. Let's go over, and God may want to deliver the whole slew of these guys into our hands. What's it to God if he uses a whole army or just two guys?" Listen, I think if Jonathan's armor bearer would have said, "Forget you," I think Jonathan would have won himself. And so Jonathan says, "Come on, let's go show ourselves to these guys." It's hilarious. They're encamped on a mountaintop. So they're going to come to the base of the mountaintop while the army of the enemy is up above, looking down on them. Verse 8 says, "Come, let's go show ourselves to them." Verse 9, "If they say thus to us," Here's the little fleece that Jonathan lays out. If they say, wait until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place and not go up to them. But if they say to us, come up here, come to us, then we will go up, for the Lord has delivered them into our hand, and this will be a sign to us. You see, Jack, this guy's crazy. Yeah, listen, he may look like he's crazy, but you know what? Somehow a thought. Jonathan, I believe, just didn't have a suicide wish. His father is hiding underneath a pomegranate tree with 600 men. If you've seen a pomegranate tree, you can get maybe two guys under it at best. So you've got 600 guys standing around a pomegranate tree with that Saul sitting underneath it, and they're removed from the battle scene altogether. What are they going to do? What are they doing? They need to act in faith. But see, Saul was not a worshiper, so he could never advance to the exploits of chapter 14. He was not a worshiper, thus he was not one to walk in faith. You see the connection? Jonathan apparently is a lover of God. He says, hey, what's the deal to God? And listen, church, it's no big deal to God to do whatever he wants to do at any time. Can he do it with one or 100,000? Yeah, it doesn't matter. In fact, he may even do it without us. He can get Balaam's donkey to do it. We've learned that one. God's going to move. He's going to do. But I want him to do it with us. And so the scripture says there that they came and they presented themselves. Verse 11, so both of them showed themselves. And the Philistines said, look, the Hebrews are coming out of their holes that they have been hiding in. Sounds like something we'd say about Osama. Then the garrison called to, and listen, Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up here, come up to us. We'll show you a thing or two. So Jonathan said, and wouldn't you love to have seen their face? He says to the armor bearer, they probably look at one another and went, all right, man, here we go. That's God's in it. Now, I don't know about you, but you know my little faith, I think I would have made a more elaborate fleece to lay out before the Lord. Like, God, if you want us to fight these guys and win, turn the sky orange. Something. But, I mean, it's like 50-50 here. Think about it. I mean, this guy's gutsy and he's trusting in the Lord. You know, have them come down wearing clown suits or you know, something radical, a crazy thing. Well, now we'll know it's God, you know. You're going to ask me, I know because I brought the word up, you're going to ask me after the service, well, Pastor, what do you think about fleeces? I don't know. I think some people, I tell you, some people will say things like this. You know, I'm going to lay this fleece out before the Lord, and if he answers it, then I know that he wants me to quit my job or move to Milwaukee or marry this man or marry this woman or whatever the thing is. And so what's your fleece? I'll ask them. Oh, you know, that I'll hear the name of Jesus tomorrow. Well, listen, if you want to know God's will, if that's your criteria, go down to the local construction site. You'll hear his name and confirmation every 5 minutes. And then when your world falls apart based upon that weak fleece, you have nothing to stand on. You say, well, do you believe in fleeces? Well, I tell you, it depends, you know. You look how God worked in people's lives, and every fleece that I see in the scripture, they're huge things. Gideon with his lambskin out there and, you know, make it wet and then not wet and wet and half wet and inside wet and outside and this day. And I mean, he's like putting God to the ringer with that one. I love that story, by the way. He just wanted to know what God's will is. He wasn't a doubter. He just wanted to know the right thing to do. May we be more like that. But in my personal life, you probably may not like this, I don't know, but when it comes to to something that is a big deal to me, I'll dig my heels in and I'll wait. And, you know, I have learned something that we cannot outwait God. And if you're waiting, he will honor that. But if you run ahead, you know what he does? He lets you go. There's Jack. I'm off, and then boom. Oh man, Lord, that door didn't open. That's because I didn't want to open it. See, the thing is, I want to now sit down. Lord, what do you want? And if the door goes, okay, the door is unlocked. Lord, I'll do anything you tell me to do. I just want to make sure it's your will. And you hear the door go, looks like it's opening. It's not that I doubt God, it's that I want to make sure I do his will. So it's very possible that Jonathan woke up that morning and he was maybe laying down thinking, you know, what are we doing out here underneath the, well, my dad's got a pomegranate tree. What are we doing out here? The enemy is amassed with his 30,000 chariots and all of these people. They're going to kill us. What are we doing? Our God is God. And he's probably thinking in his head. And then he says to his armor bearer, what's the big deal? You guys, has a thought ever entered your head? Let me suggest this to you. I think great exploits will always arise in your head. God's going to whisper them to you. I don't think he's going to write it in the sky. I don't think he's going to put it on a banner. There's no faith in that. It's got to come to you. For you to carry out a great exploit for God, it's got to be a vision. I don't mean a vision like, oh, I saw this thing. No, I mean a vision, a direction from God. And you've got it. It's in your head. And you may turn to your armor bearer, who could be your friend or your wife or your husband or a co-worker. I don't know what it is. I don't know. And you say, you know what? What if we just do this? It comes out. And listen, I love what's happening here because to me, I see this from the outside saying, boy, you know, Jonathan, this is a quite risky fleece you're laying before the Lord. But maybe God is also speaking through his armor bearer. His armor bearer doesn't say, you're nuts. You're as nutty as your father. I'm out of here. Carry your own armor. No, he says, you know what? Whatever is in your heart to do, I'm in on it. Which speaks of tremendous integrity that Jonathan had. That his armor bearer would say, whatever you want to do. In Amos 3, verse 3, it says, how can two walk together unless they are in agreement? Well, let me tell you what that is also saying. That if two are walking in agreement, they can do anything. Even though there's some tens of thousands of enemy troops nearby, we know this, that Jonathan and his armor bearer has the Lord on their side. And with that, you have a majority. I read a prayer recently of Ronald Reagan's. And it was an awesome prayer. He prayed this prayer, and it was recorded. He's prayed it in Congress or in the White House. I don't know where he prayed it, but it was recorded by some historian. And Ronald Reagan prayed that, when he was president, that we as a nation would be very, very careful to not get God on our side. He said, we have to be very careful. We do not get God on our side as a nation. But as a nation, we're on God's side. Isn't that smart? Come on, God, we're America. I mean, you know who we are, and why don't you get behind us? We'll lead the way. Get on our side, God. Watch out. No, he said, hey, listen, if we're going to be America, we need to make sure that we're on God's side. I thought that was very wise. Jonathan knows something about faith, and he acts upon it. They move forward against all odds. They're moving forward. And so the enemy says, look, they're crawling out of their holes. Verse 12, then the men of the garrison called to Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up here and we'll show you something. And so Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come after me, for the Lord has, listen, it's past tense. It's already done. The Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel. What a beautiful word. And Jonathan climbed up on his hands and knees. with his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan. These guys were just dropping dead in battle before him. And as he came after him, his armor bearer killed them. The first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within a half acre of land. That's a pretty tight quarter to kill that many guys. And there was a trembling, verse 15, in the camp, in the field, and among the people, in the garrison. And the raiders also trembled. And the earth quaked, so that it was a very great trembling. Now the watchmen of Saul, and it goes on to say there that they heard and understood that the people were beginning to melt away. So the watchman's going to report to Saul, there is this thing going on, this victory taking place. And so Saul's going to number the people. Who's missing? Now watch this. You guys, this is amazing to me. They're hiding under this pomegranate tree with just a few people. Something goes on in the camp of the enemy that is so huge, that is so outrageous, and the watchman announces to King Saul, something's going on. There's a great trembling and a quaking in the enemy's camp. What is so weird about this is Saul, if we were to keep reading, he takes a census. Count the people. Count our troops. Think a minute. Watch this. Why is he saying this? Count the people. He's assuming, he's worried, he's somehow out of step with what God wants to do. Maybe somebody's left our ranks and gone over to attack the enemy. In other words, can I read between the lines here? Someone's acting in faith. Someone's believing God, for there's a great trembling, and the enemy's melting away. It's as though God was doing it. Count everybody and see if everybody's here. And when they made count, Jonathan and his armor bearer were not there. And this tremendous event unfolds before us. There's a great victory. The enemy is defeated. Israel is emboldened to war. There's a great exploit done by the people of God. And in fact, those that were against, listen, those who were against the Philistines, who were Jewish, it says in this chapter, but were under their control. In other words, they were like Taliban turncoats. You seen what's going on over there? There's so many people saying, yo, yo, Taliban, you know, we're on your side, yahoo. And then a bomb drops, and then everybody runs over to the other side and says, boo, Taliban, boo, boo. And then, you know, I mean, it's a big problem. They're switching sides. Well, there was a bunch of Hebrews that were with the enemy. And when the enemy began to lose, they all began to come out and say, we're on Israel's side. And it doesn't criticize them. It just says that it happened. There was a great victory. But instead of Saul saying, wow, isn't God great? Saul makes this decree. He said, listen, as this battle takes place, now he's entering into it, nobody's allowed to eat until I have, listen, he says, until I have exercised vengeance upon my enemies. That's a very, very horrible thing that he says. I am going to get vengeance. Verse 24. Israel doesn't eat a thing as Saul places them under this curse until I have taken vengeance. I. Listen, Saul started out humbly and he wound up proud. The scripture taught from the very, very beginning, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Listen, God's doing the battling. Saul, once again, as we've learned before, tries to take the credit. That's it. Now that we got momentum going and something's happening around here, I don't have a clue what. Nobody eats until I have vengeance on those who are against me. So you can see him running out from underneath this tree and doing his thing. And the scripture says, now all the people, verse 25 of the land, they came into the forest and there was honey on the ground. You guys, you don't find honey on the ground. You find honey and honeycombs, and you've got to contend with the bees to get to the honey. God lays out honey on the ground. Listen, this is more than just a coincidence of honey being on the ground. Do you see what's going on? God is resisting Saul now. Saul makes this stupid vow and a curse. Nobody eats until my enemies are all dead. So what does God do? Hey, Gabriel, Michael, spread some honey out on the ground. It's as though heaven is against Saul now. Perhaps it is. And so as the people come, they begin to eat. It says in verse 26 that when the people came into the woods, there was the honey dripping, but no one put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. That is the curse that Saul had placed upon them. But listen, the Bible says, but Jonathan, verse 27, did not hear the vow of his father. He didn't know about it. So he stretched out the end of his rod and dipped it into the honey, and he ate of the honeycomb, and he was strengthened. It says his countenance was brightened. You know what that means? It means he got strength and energy. He was tired from the war, from battling. God provides the honey. Jonathan eats the honey. He's revived and strengthened, but he doesn't know about his father's stupid curse. Listen, when you're not a worshiper of God, you're going to act like Saul. You're going to respond emotionally. You're going to fly off the handle. You're going to make decisions without having thought about it or rehearsed it or whatever. You're just going to be a nut. Listen, we all can be prone to be a nut in this area, acting irrationally, if we don't worship, if we're not walking with the Lord, if we don't see God great. We can, what we would call it, we would choke on the situation, panic. And so Saul is out of control. And so verses 25 down to verses 30 there, there's the great warning that they rehearse. Your father, Jonathan, has issued this decree that nobody eats. And it says in verse 32, and the people rushed onto the spoil of the enemy, that took their sheep, their oxen, their calves, the slaughter that was upon the ground, and the people ate them with the blood. That's not a good thing, but they must have been starving to do such a thing. The Jews don't eat anything with blood in it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Faith, Jonathan versus Saul. It's a look at 1 Samuel chapter 14, which really gives us a great lesson in having faith in the God of Israel, that he will do what he says he will. And we'll continue with more of this fascinating verse-by-verse journey through this Old Testament historical book of 1 Samuel on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, as you probably know, our website is realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. It's an easy address to remember. And of course, that's where you can keep in touch with all things connected to this ongoing radio outreach, including Real Life with Jack Hibbs, which, by the way, is the name of both our Monday evening TV program, as well as our free app for your smartphone or tablet, Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Right there at your fingertips, you can access, well, certainly Real Life with Jack Hibbs, the television program, but you can also get past editions of Real Radio, topical lessons from Scripture, verse-by-verse studies, and a whole lot more, right there on your phone or tablet. We also have Words to the Wise, Pastor Jack's weekly devotional, which you can get via email. Subscribers to Words to the Wise keep on writing in to let Pastor Jack know how much they love and appreciate these words of wisdom. Here's what just one Words to the Wise subscriber wrote. Pastor Jack's very inspirational devotion earlier this year was very moving. I've fought heart disease the last couple of years and have had times that it would feel better to be gone than living. I know the only way I stayed strong was to have God by my side. His blessings are truly special. God's comfort, when feelings of loneliness became so great, helped me make it through the day. God bless you, Pastor Jack. Well, thank you for letting Pastor Jack know. He loves to get these words of encouragement. He really does. Subscribe to Words to the Wise. Just simply visit us at realradioactive.org. Realradioactive.org. And click on the button on the right side there that says Devotional. realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.